So I can divide my early childhood up more or less by the things that I was into, and it started with Star Wars. I remember when Mom and Dad showed me Star Wars for the first time, I think maybe I was six, and that was what I ate, slept, breathed, lived. I was a member of the Star Wars fan club, I think in fact actually card carrying. I think at the time they'd send you those things. So I had one of those. Then it got into Legos, and then it was Pokemon, and then another thing. But with all of these things, I became an expert. I knew the stories that were there. I knew the names of characters. I knew what was going on, which is part of the reason that I really don't buy into the idea that we need to dumb down the stories of sacred scripture for our children. Kids are capable of remembering a great deal, and we as adults are also capable of remembering and knowing a great deal. Anybody who's a fan of a sports team, a particular composer, of a movie producer, we have these things stored up in our memory, and we know obscure details about what they did, and it's because, in some way, by loving this thing, there is something extra that's called forth in us that allows us to be able to hold on to that information a little bit more richly. So it's striking then when we hear St. Paul saying, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." So what a beautiful call to us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Don't worry, this is not going to be a homily that's just like, y'all need to read your Bibles more, because that's a daunting thing. Just cracking open the scriptures and reading it is difficult. In fact, what I want to do is look at the various ways that we might know scripture, because I think Paul is inviting all of us, wherever we might be with the scriptures, to a deeper level. Because there's knowing the scriptures, being able to quote particular verses, being able to proof text, right, to say, okay, so here in the Bible is where Jesus says this, which proves this teaching of the church or this liturgical practice. And that's fine, but it's using the scripture as a relatively blunt instrument. And that actually is a lot of times what we might be tempted to think of as knowing the scriptures. Maybe we have friends who are Protestant. Maybe we ourselves are converts from a Protestant denomination, and this is how we came to know the scriptures. I can cite chapter and verse. I know where something took place. I know how to argue this thing. Okay, good. None of that is bad. We want to make sure that the quotes that we have, the text that we have, is actually in context, which means actually knowing the story. We need to know something about it, but there's nothing wrong with having that knowledge of the scripture. Read Augustine, read Aquinas. They have an incredible command of the scripture to support and to be the source of the arguments that they're making on behalf of the faith. That's all well and good. But that's just the beginning. So we want to go even deeper. And so do we understand the scope of salvation history? And so this moves from knowing particular quotes or even particular stories into knowing the story of sacred scripture. So of course, I think one of the real big things in the Catholic world right now is Father Mike Schmitz's Bible in a Year podcast. There's a reason that it was number one on the charts in terms of most downloaded and listened to podcasts. People are hungry to know the story of Scripture. So that's actually a really good tool for hearing the whole story from start to finish, how all the pieces come together. But there are any number of resources that we could make use of to get a grasp of the story. Because it's as the Catechism points to, really, everything in the Old Testament speaks to us of what's coming in its fulfillment in Christ, and everything in the New Testament, of course, reveals to us the fullness of God's revelation in the person of Jesus. So we need to have a sense of the story, and in that we come to understand that we are connected to that story. But again, even with this, we have really only gotten to the level of head knowledge, which again, is not a bad thing. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But there is more that God will do. If you look at the lives of the desert fathers, right? So we're talking about sort of the second era within the life of the church. Christianity is legalized. It's no longer being persecuted. And so we don't have the martyrs as these outstanding examples of faith. At least not any more active martyrs. So those who then are looked on as holy are those men and women who retreat into the desert and begin coming to know the Lord in the silence. By withdrawing from the world, they open their heart to receive God. But what they found very quickly was that even though they left the world behind, they brought the world with them in their hearts and in their fallenness. And so they developed this practice, and the Greek name for it escapes me, I'll be honest, but it translates to talking back. And they took this right from what our Lord does when Satan comes into the desert to tempt him. Even though the evil one quotes scripture to him, so again, there's our caution on proof texting, Jesus himself knows the scriptures better and so takes the word of God and uses it as a response to talk back to the temptations that are being presented to him. And so this is where scripture begins to shape our hearts. We begin to come to know, hopefully, what our temptations and our weaknesses are. We know the ways that desolation comes to us. And so if we know that, we can be attentive to God's word when his word seems especially pointed to those areas we are weak, those areas that we might be tempted to sin or to give in to desperation and hopelessness, so that then when those things come, when the evil one comes kind of scratching at the door, we have an answer to speak back. Understand, this is not a mantra. This is not slipping into some sort of Eastern religious practice. Eastern religious practices typically become non-personal. They become a kind of mental trick. This is not that. Scripture is always personal. So in using the Word of God, we are bringing God's presence into this grappling with the temptation, and we are speaking the very words that he himself would speak to that temptation, that he does speak to that temptation. So far from it being a practice of emptying our minds or just focusing on a mantra, we are in fact opening our hearts to rely on the power of God rather than our own power. And in fact, there is a great translation of one of the desert fathers who compiled, kind of working with 7 or 8 deadly sins, a list of scripture passages that might be helpful for responding to particular temptations, and it's called Talking Back. You should be able to find that with a pretty simple Google search, if that's something that you're interested in. But even that isn't enough, because it still uses the Word of God first and foremost as a tool. And so this is where it's important for us to pay close attention to what St. Paul says. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom. So when we talk about wisdom, we have gone past simple book knowledge. And it's the point where two become one. It is the knowledge that exists between husband and wife, the knowledge that sacred scripture speaks of in that way. It is an intimate and binding kind of knowing. Two become one. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as in all wisdom. So now it is no longer a matter of just knowing the data of Scripture, no longer a matter of having just the right arrow in the quiver from the Word of God for a particular temptation, but it instead is the realization that in Scripture we are given a share by God himself in his own mind and heart, and so have access to intimacy with our Lord. And so that intimacy doesn't just pour knowledge into our heads, but in fact shapes our hearts so that two can become one, that through the Holy Spirit, our thoughts begin to line up with God's thoughts. Our heart lines up with His heart. We begin to see things as He sees them. We begin to speak as He speaks. We begin to feel as He feels. We are becoming one through union with our Lord. And it is by allowing His word to speak into our hearts. This is where we enter into wisdom. This is how the Lord really truly desires us to make use of His word. He didn't give it to us simply to be a way to know how to live. He didn't give it to us simply that we might be ready to fight temptation. He didn't give it to us just as a historical record of His saving action. He gave it to us as the means of uniting ourselves with Him and in being prepared to receive sacramentally to be united to Him. So does our engagement with the Scripture include that? This can be, of course, very unsafe because it's easy to find somebody else's answers in the Bible. It's easy to figure out the whole scope of the story. It's easy to say, okay, I'm going to fight temptation, and so I have this passage, and this passage memorized for that. But to allow God's word to cut so deeply that it would cut away everything that isn't God, that it might call me out and be a word directed against me to bind up what's broken and heal me, or that it might speak with startling clarity to a place of darkness that I've shared with no one, that is to allow God very, very close. And so then we understand why Paul can encourage those he's writing to be able to teach and to admonish one another, because in allowing the word of Christ to dwell in them, it isn't just them or their hang-ups or their quirks speaking into somebody else's life, but it is the insight in the word and the love of God. And to make our songs, the words of the Psalms, the hymns in sacred scripture, to allow the words that our ancestors, even before Christ Himself came to earth, that they used to praise God, to be the very words that we use. This binds us to that great tradition of love and union with our God. So may we allow today to be an invitation to let God's word come closer to us, to clear out the space a little bit more, to let the word dwell with us. If we have good knowledge of the scripture for the sake of apologetics, let's allow God to come closer. If we haven't even begun to put the story together, maybe we start with the gospels so that the saving power of Jesus can speak into our lives as it spoke into the lives of those that He was incarnate to in a visible way. But may we always approach the word of God as an encounter with the mind and heart of God, is alive and present to us, that it may prepare us then for these moments sacramentally where we do receive our Lord and allow Him to dwell in us, not just in His word, but in His body and blood, soul and divinity also, that two may indeed become one.